This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 6th of January, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's Monday. Welcome to 2023. And we've got lots to talk about today. Let me give you the numbers to call. You can call 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. 325-4259. And 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Let's try those 325 numbers first. There may be an issue with the 323 line. Also, you can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Today we're talking immigration and governance. We're talking immigration, migration, and governance this morning. I want to start off the show by sending a happy birthday shout out to Wellington Gilbert. Happy birthday, Wellington Gilbert, and happy belated birthday to Ms. Marie Searsing, lecturer at the University of the Bahamas. I hope you had a great birthday. So I want to talk about some immigration, migration issues. And then there's a couple of other things to talk about. There's an interesting communication last week from the Office of the Prime Minister. And I just found it sort of fascinating, the whole line of conversation. So before we get into the migration talks, a couple of articles in the paper over the last few days. The first is titled, I think, from the Nassau Guardian, Watson, no time frame on marital rape citizenship legislation. He says there is no timeline for the introduction of the marital rape bill or a bill that will allow Bahamian men and women to pass on citizenship in all circumstances. Press Secretary Clint Watson said in that statement, I think that was on Thursday. I am completely and totally shocked. I'm stunned. How is it that you have spent so much money in the preparation of these bills, right? But you don't have an actual timeline. I mean, how are you having consultation on said bills if the consultation is not guided, right, by a policy or a position that includes a timeline for completion? Like, when you ask yourself, is another article, activist says government using stalling tactics on marital rape issue, and then just read from it, social services officials have stated plans to meet with Baptist church leaders to consult, but Equality Bahamas activist Alicia Wallace noted that that has been done before. Here's a quote from her. This is yet another stalling tactic used by the government, and we've seen it before. We've seen so many bills get stalled because there's this never-ending so-called consultation, Wallace said. Full stop. You see, her statement isn't unreasonable. It's not unwarranted. Because I could tell you right now, if you don't have a timeline clearly stated, shared with stakeholders, civil society, and other constituents, right? Then you don't really have a plan. You don't really have an intention. And it's plain to see. It's plain to see. Let me tell you how else we know. When we know that you're stalling, we know that you're not serious. It's when you bring out the poetics. It's when you bring out the poetics. Watson goes on to say, no time frame yet. Speaking with the minister who's leading this initiative, Obi Wilchcombe, they want to complete the dialogue. The meetings are not just with the church, Mr. Watson stressed. Those are the meetings that are upcoming, but they are not the only meetings that they have met with. They have met with organizations. They have met with women's groups. They have met with civic organizations. So it's not just lopsided as it appears by saying the Christian groups. Those may be the meetings that they have concluded with or having next, but it's not only in the church. It's been a well-rounded approach. Whenever you hear that type of poetry, whenever you hear that rhetoric, I mean, it's so beautiful. The words are so well-crafted. They don't really mean anything. They're not actually saying anything. It's a clear indication that we ain't going anywhere. Let me give you another example. Freedom of information, not on the shelf, but no date yet. This article from the Nassau Tribune. Press Secretary Clint Watson said the Davis administration is still committed to full implementation of the Freedom of Information Act, which, he said, is, quote, in the process of being launched. This is where the poetics start. It is being implemented, he said yesterday. The pilot stage is launching and training is underway in the government agencies right now as we speak, so it is in the process of being launched. It's not just sitting on the shelf. The process is taking place. Training is taking place. The first stage is being launched. Yes, there is willpower to do. It is something the Prime Minister said when I spoke to him this morning. He has the willpower to see it fully implemented. Asked if he expects this to happen before the Davis administration completes its current term in office, Mr. Watson was unable to say. He added, but it's happening. It's not on a shelf. I repeat, it's not on a shelf. It's being implemented. But there are stages to the implementation before it's absolutely complete. And that has started. So this administration is actually beginning to bring freedom of information into play. The poetics is so beautiful. It's so well crafted. It says nothing, but it does it so eloquently. And that's how we know. That's how we know you ain't going anywhere with it anyway. Another very interesting article along these lines. Matt Aubrey from Org. This is a headline from the news, Eyewitness News last night. Matt Aubrey from the Organization for Responsible Government says consultation needed on NIB fund before any rate increase. He indicated consultation with the general public is needed. You could imagine that. Y'all having a whole discussion about the need to increase rates at NIB. And you have not even attempted to engage the general public. You have not, it appears, shown us or manifested any sign of the creation of a mechanism or series of mechanisms that you can use to engage the Bahamian public and get their opinion on the matter. You haven't manifested any series of events or policies that you can use to be able to garner an informed opinion from the general public. Of course, that means you have to educate them and raise awareness about the general issue and the specifics that need to be discussed so that they can give you an informed opinion. This is not one of those matters where you could say, well, if the people want to know, they will figure it out. Half of the people in NIB don't know. The information is not available. They cannot speak competently to issues or address concerns because they do not have the scope of knowledge about the entity they work with currently and historically to be able to answer questions for people competently. We could talk about it. This is not consultation government. These things that you're doing, this is not proper consultation. It's more like a poppy show. For those who are aware of how things are supposed to work, it's jokey now. It's just a joke. You seem unable and unwilling to engage in one of the integral parts of this governance thing, which is proper consultation with the people, creating mechanisms so people can be engaged and you, the government, can capture their informed opinions. The political culture is such now that it demands, right? It demands the absence of the citizen. Because it's so much easier to run the country when you don't have to consider that actual citizens exist. As long as you could think about them as a labor component, not real people, but statistics on paper. But it's the poetry for me. It's the poetry. It's just so, it's so stale now. We're over it. It's 2023. You hired a whole press secretary. But we could have gone right to UB, to the Department of English, with one of the best poetry divisions in the region, and done a better job. Got a couple of texts here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. BTC is great show as usual. Do you have a contact for BTC at Southwest Plaza? Because I can't get them on the phone. My SIM was inactive from Wednesday. This is another issue. I read it because over the last few weeks, maybe a couple of months, complaints have increased in public, negative public sentiment about BTC and their services or lack thereof are increasing. And I wonder if anybody is paying attention. Another text, Ms. Green, can you or another host have C. Allen please do a show on the tokenization concept he speaks about? I see billions are being raised weekly using the method. I would love to see how it can be applied in Bahamas. If it can be done, hundreds of Bahamians can benefit from this knowledge. I got you. I got you. We got some more. I'm not opposed to the idea, Texter. I just focused on some more fundamental elements that we need to put in place before we would even be able to take advantage of an industry, right, created by or about tokenization in the financial services. We have some real basic issues to look at. All right, I want to talk about migration, but before we get there, I get another article, and this one is in today's Tribune. Minister must resign over taxi plates issue. The head of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union is calling for Transport Minister JoBeth Colby-Davis to resign, claiming that her decisions since assuming office have caused utter chaos and turmoil in the industry. The union's grievances stem from the minister's decision to issue hundreds of taxi plates last year, which the union says has caused the market to become oversaturated. Wesley Ferguson, the BTCU's president, told the Tribune that the drivers are still fed up from the move and now just want the minister gone, as she has refused to meet with them to address their concerns. However, Mrs. Colby Davis has denied this, saying she has always left a line of communication open to the union. Dear Minister, check if BTC run in the line. Just check. When the minister gave out more than 800 plates in the space of 2 or 3 months, that put the taxi union industry, in a tailspin. He said the union also gave the minister a golden opportunity to set guidelines on taxi fares, but claimed she refused to take advantage of the opportunity. Let me say this. I am going to reach out to the taxi cab union. If you know Mr. Wesley Ferguson, if you have a contact for him, please share it with me. Tell him, call the Guardian, because Ms. Green would like to talk to him. Here's a quote from Mr. Ferguson. What she did was letting taxi drivers have their own interpretation of what a fare should be, and now it's out of control. Because now you have new taxi drivers who just entered the industry who knows nothing about taxi driving, who doesn't care about the industry and don't care about tourists nor the government. All they want to do is make that money. So the taxi industry is now in turmoil because of the minister being so reckless in her behavior, close quotes. Dear Mr. Ferguson, that's a reckless statement. You really think it's the minister and this one decision or this series of decisions since coming into office that has the industry in a turmoil and chaos? You don't think charging Bahamians $50 from the airport to Johnson Road, to Atlantis, is a problem? I just find this matter, well, I would find it laughable if tourism wasn't our number one industry and taxi drivers around the place carrying on like they work for the Governor General. I would think it was jokey. But it's not jokey. Not only that, this is a serious, serious matter. Look at what has become of the taxi union in the Bahamas, historically one of the most powerful unions in the country. Look at what has become of it. Problems and crisis on so many layers. But what I am concerned about is this statement here. He said the union also gave the minister, quote, a golden opportunity to set guidelines on taxi fares, but claimed she refused to take advantage of the opportunity. I don't understand what's happening here, because the minister can initiate the process for a review of taxi fares at any time, eh? In fact, if industry stakeholders or the general public if the people who sort of speak for tourists, you know, if they say something as well, wouldn't the minister have sort of an obligation to initiate a review process to determine whether rates need to be changed? I don't understand what's going on there, Mr. Wesley Ferguson. Here's what I do know. Being an ordinary citizen on the roads of the Bahamas, you feel like you're being terrorized by taxi drivers who feel that they are now the Secret Service, that they have the most important job in the Bahamas and thus have a right to ignore traffic controls, to ignore the right of way of other drivers, to ignore the most basic rules of common decency and community. Well, I see. That's what I see. I see taxi drivers and other transportation specialists in the industry blatantly ignoring traffic controls and other drivers as if their job is the most important job in the Bahamas. I just wanted to give you, sir, a spotlight. Looking in from the outside, this looked very jokey. That statement looks very jokey. The state of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union looks very jokey. here's the second part of the critique. I would hate to think that the ministry would use tactics that could be likened to gangster-ish tactics to deal with matters that should have been able to have been dealt with easily and quickly at the table with open and honest people who will be honest about the state of the industry. I don't support union busting. I don't support those types of tactics. There's nothing that justifies them. But I can understand why a government with little ideas would take that tact with y'all. From those of us on the outside looking in, when I say looking in, those of us that can't catch a cab, because taxi drivers don't come to our neighborhoods. Can't catch a cab home, because unless you know the right taxi driver, ain't nobody going to your neighborhood. For those of us looking in from the outside, it's so ridiculous, it's almost jokey. Producer, let's take a break. We come back from the break. We're going to get into some migration talks. The numbers to call, 325-4316, 325-4259, 323-6232. Remember, the text line is powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Reach out, base check, and talk more often, and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, and we're talking what's in the news. Now I want to talk about migration. Yesterday, preparing notes for today, talk about migration, I didn't expect today's headline in The Guardian. Mind you, I was waiting. In fact, one of the first questions I ask is, where is the Minister of Labor and Immigration? Why we can't hear from him or see him? But let me tell you why I started to ask that question. It's an article from Friday's, I think, Guardian, maybe the Tribune. PM looking into claims that Abaco workers are unpaid. PM looking into claims that Abaco workers are unpaid. Prime Minister Philip Davis is looking into claims that a group of Bahamians working for a development company on Abaco has not been paid since September 2022. According to Press Secretary Clint Watson, workers can rest assured that the matter will now be investigated. That's poetry again. He said during a press briefing at the office of the Prime Minister, the PM says now that he's been made aware today of what has been transpiring, he will intervene and ensure there is resolution. Watson said it is unclear how many workers are impacted or how much is owed. Right? I know y'all saying, but Aaron, why? You said you wanted to talk about migration. Why are we talking about this? Well, because I think that we have not a migrant crisis, but a crisis of governance. And let me use this story to explain what I mean. It is January the 16th, 2023. Workers have not been paid since September. That means there's an October, December, November, December. That's 3 pay cycles, right? Where they haven't been paid. That means there's 3 months, right? Where NIB hasn't been paid, right? Or is it that the company somehow paid the NIB for the workers, but didn't actually pay them the salary that the NIB was deducted from? Now, if the workers are paying their portion of the NIB themselves, right, that means they're responsible for paying their portion of the NIB, or the company may pay on their behalf, may pay the NIB, right? Working on the island, that the latter, the company may pay their portion on their behalf, you know, pay it for them, take it out of their money, the workers' money. But at what point does NIB make a note that an employer has not made that contribution? Because here's what I'm thinking. First things first, why is the Prime Minister addressing this? Why? Don't we have a Minister of Labor and Immigration? Labor to deal with the Bahamian workers, immigration to deal with the foreign employers? Like, all wrapped up in one person to make it very easy? Why is the Prime Minister speaking to this? Is the Prime Minister speaking to this because the project sits in the office of the Prime Minister and not in the Office of Investments? Is that what it is? Okay, now if it sits in the office of the Prime Minister, could it be that the project developers receive a special concession where they don't have to pay NIB? Is that possible? I mean, it shouldn't be possible because the law say everybody got to pay NIB. Right? So it shouldn't be possible, but is it possible? Or is it possible that the concession is that you pay NIB every quarter or every third or at the half year or at the end of the year? Because if that's the case, then I wouldn't expect a flag in the system to say after the first month or the second month that NIB hasn't been paid. But somebody should be aware that these people haven't been paid. See, NIB and its systems are like a secondary measure that we can use to investigate or determine whether people are being employed improperly, people are working under the table, if businesses are hiring migrant or undocumented migrant labor. But also because there's a lapse in systems that affect everybody. This isn't just the result of systems that are specifically dealing with migration that are being corrupted. I think we have a collapse of government systems generally. And how is it that on Abaco in particular, that we have not implemented special procedures to document both the movement of people and the dynamics of labor taking place on the island? Now, the headline of The Guardian says, Bell, we will go after work permit violators. Minister says many working outside scope of what is allowed. Immigration Minister Keith Bell yesterday warned that the Department of Immigration will crack down on work permit violations as part of its overall strategy to address the illegal immigration problem plaguing the Bahamas. I don't know who to attribute this beautiful piece of poetry to. I don't know if it is just an excellent writing of Mr. Travis Cartwright Carroll, or if the Honorable Mr. Keith Bell just brings an air of poetics with him when he comes to speak. But let's get a quote from him. Bell also said many people in the Bahamas with loved ones in crisis-torn Haiti have been seeking a legal way to get their families out of the country. I have indicated to the Bahamian people that the Department of Immigration receives in excess of 500 applications for permits per week from persons trying to get families out of Haiti. That is a large number. Asked how many applications he granted, Bell said, I have not granted any permits to reside and have refused all. Obviously, the social services, our schools, our society is unable to absorb any number of those applicants. It just simply is impossible. He goes on to say, when we look at our family islands, there are a number of matters being addressed, and for obvious reasons, I will not indicate what they are to the media at this stage, but only to let the Bahamian people know that we are aware, and I've taken note of what I've seen on social media. Another beautiful piece of poetry. First of all, at this point, outside of the specific details of operations targeting employers, rogue elements, right? Outside of the specific details, what is it that you can't share with us? And what are the obvious reasons why you can't share them with us? More importantly, do you understand the need in this particular matter to, like the Minister of Housing and Transport said, keep an open line of communication with the general public about a matter that is not just vexing and frustrating, but what amounts to a decades-long crisis? This is not the time for poetics. This is not the time to tell us, I will not indicate what they are to the media at this stage, but only to let the Bahamian people know that we are aware. You see how many words you used there? You could have told us something. You could have traded out some of those words. for something, Mr. Bell. But really, this is the thing that I'm interested in. What Mr. Bell said was that what they have found or suspect is that a number of people working on, a number of migrants working on the family islands are people who have work permits and are documented and are authorized to be in the country. The question is, does the work that they're currently engaged in fit the scope or the parameters of the work permit issued? What you doing in Abaco working on this project, if your work permit was applied for by an employer in New Providence and the scope of the work you were hired to do is in New Providence. I got a text here that says, Haitians are now squatting on Paradise Island. The Haitian lady said she can move anywhere she feels and police can't do anything about it. I'm a Bahamian that almost got swung out of 4,000 by a Haitian who said he owned a villa on PI. Government must do something. Okay, first of all, if someone is a documented migrant and they have authorization to be in the country, and if it's a work permit, they could live anywhere that will rent to them. If you're a tourist, you can only reside for a limited amount of time. You can't just go camping. Say I'm in the Bahamas, I can go camp for as long as I want. But here's the next thing. So only Haitians can't squat on PI. I mean, is there a list of people who are not allowed to squat on PI? Or is it just that Haitians are not allowed to squat on PI? You know how many people, as a young person, I became aware were like squatting on PI or squatting in the Bahamas generally? Do you know how many people are living their best life in the Bahamas right now? Just moving through like Bougou? I mean, I just want to know, just clarify for me, is it okay if Bahamians squat on PI? See, because there's another very important conversation in here, and I'll keep drawing us back to it. What is the state of your country when you prioritize beds for tourists over beds for Bahamians? Something like, we need to have a moment of silence every time I say it. Another text. He don't have to grant permits to reside. They are doing so in great numbers and making a mockery of us. Dear texter, I want to know what you mean by that, right? So what you're saying is, because here's what I recall from the last few months of reporting. The government conducted an exercise in Abaco recently and indicated that there were only a minute number of people who they detained, engaged with, that were actually undocumented. But let's stick a pin text. I'm going to get right back to that. Let me go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Aaron, my friend, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Aaron, very interesting conversation. I think this is one that the country seriously need to have at this particular juncture. There's a couple things that came through my mind over the weekend as we progress. First and foremost, you know, I think these political parties need to stop pointing fingers at each other because they have been complicit in this illegal migration matter, not addressing it appropriately, taking a firm, hard stance on trying to minimize the impact that it has on this country, as well as perhaps, you know, we realize you won't be able to totally eradicate it because people are moving about around the world. But we should have been able to have a better firm control on who's here in our borders, identify who's here, their purpose here, and so on and so forth. And no administration up to this point has successfully proven to the Bahamian people that they are in total control of these operations as it pertains to national security and the sovereignty of our country. You know, I'll go on a little further to say this much. Mm-hmm. You know, right down to Abaco, the government had, especially under the FNM administration, so I can be fair and balanced with my statements, I think Prime Minister Minnis, although inundated with the task at hand, we had an opportunity to document every single last person that came from Abaco when they were down in our stadium. Mm-hmm. But people were crying out because it was a humanitarian crisis that they did not want to impose any further burdens on these people, but that's all beside the point. That is a point that we should have well documented, everyone that was in that stadium, to prove after the fact, even after all of this stuff had quiet down, we would have been able to identify who's here in this country, whether they are under legal means or not, and do the requisite stuff to either deport them and so on and so forth. Now, the complaint was, well, during the hurricane, all kind of peoples were lost. I say to them that even that is beside the point, because if due diligence was done, then the Department of Immigration here in Nassau would have all of those documents, whether copied or in the electronic form, mm-hmm. to identify that these people are actually here. So I'm hearing a bunch of complaints from both sides of the fence. This matter, Bahamian people are not dumb. We are not stupid. We are very intelligent. Mm-hmm. We understand when there's smoke and mirrors being engaged. I'll close on this one point here. In terms of Abaco, because now we're getting complaints that the migrants are now infiltrating our other family islands, which mm-hmm. is a very serious national security breach. My thing is, Ragged Island right now is being inundated. Right now, Abaco again is being in flux with these persons. Here's my thought on that. I'm understanding that when the former prime minister had put forward the stop build order, even though the injunction from the courts indicated that the persons who had built at that particular time, you could not demolish their dwellings, and no new building of structures should have proceeded since the injunction. Mm-hmm. At this particular point, buildings were still being constructed. The government was made aware of what was going on in Abaco by people on the ground. Mm-hmm. And nothing tangibly was taking place at that time to stop them from building these stuff. Then we also had information coming from the ground that we had NGOs assisting with building materials and stuff to these people. Here's my question. Who gave the NGOs the right to give stuff? Was this mandated or was it controlled by any governmental agency to have an oversight of who was giving equipment and bringing in supplies for persons whom we still today do not know whether they are legally there on the island or not? See, all these are loopholes. These stuff should have been better controlled and better contained by our agencies, the police force, defense force, national security, and any other agency that is involved. So I just put the myriad of stuff on the table for Bahamians to open their eyes and see what's going on in this country. We are right now regarded as a lawless country. No government agency is taking the onus to put the stopgap measure in place to stop this stuff. So in closing, the Prime Minister, Philip Brave Davis, now the ball is on his desk and his government. Is he going to be that dramatic difference that the Bahamian people, regarding this illegal migration situation, we want solutions. We are tired of the excuses. We want no more excuses. Get the hard work done, because that's what we hired you guys to do in this term. Thanks for taking my call, Aaron.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you very much. And not just that, as a human rights advocate, I think that we can provide solutions that are also humane, that are also just, right? And that will also create
if you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
A decent environment for migrants and for Bahamians. Producer, I may have lost a call just now. Anyway, caller, don't go anywhere. I'm going to try to get you in right before the end of the... There we go. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Ah, boy. I don't know what happened, caller. I'm so sorry. We try again. Here's a text. Just don't squat on my land in Fox Hill because Fox Hill people don't take that too well. But listen, let's talk about how a degradation, the falling apart of traditional community norms, right, has weakened our national security. How the rapid vacuuming of people from traditional communities into the quote-unquote suburbs and developments has created, right? The vacuuming out has created this space, this gap that has been filled by people, not bad people, people just desperate to live, right? But that has disrupted. That has disrupted established paths of like community development. Another text, according to, all right, text, I'm going to read that one on about tokenization. Aaron Green, those people shouldn't be living in that villa on Paradise Island in secrecy and without electricity and water and who knows what else. There are also children in that unsuitable building. Dear texter, I only reference the conversation about PI through something anecdotal. I'm hoping that what you're talking about, I can learn more about that and speak to that. Okay, Aaron, I said squatting, breaking in villas. I am Bahamian. I can't do that at all, moving in villas that are abandoned. Dear texter, you just ain't bold enough. I can tell you stories. I won't tell who told them they can do this. They're illegal and broken illegally and moved in. This is happening everywhere in Nassau. Are you saying I can do this too? I'm Bahamian. No foreigner should be able to do this. No, all I'm telling you is that foreigners been doing this. And not just Haitian foreigners. Foreigners been doing this, man. The Bahamas is like a movie. This place is so exciting. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
How you do, Mr. Weatherford?
You know the irony?
Tell me.
I actually found out that the building on Paradise Island was foreclosed by the bank. And I went and got an appraisal to purchase that in a 30-year loan. Huh? That's how I'm discriminated against. I should bring you the appraisal. But I'm going to give it to the other guy. You know, what was disturbing is in 2018, we passed a commercial enterprise bill law.
Mm-hmm.
And you should read it tomorrow on the radio for the people so they could understand, while they was busy with their life in survival mode, what was passed. You can bring whatever you need to work in this country. And you read what it takes to bring that person. Because I'm being told now there's almost 3,000 people working at that community in Abaco from Mexico. We don't hate nobody.
Graham, that number is just ridiculous. Hold on, that number is just out of control. I got you. I appreciate.
You, okay, let's move on.
No, Graham, I'm actually out of time.
Wow. 3,000 people were brought from Abaco.
I can't even hear that number, Graham.
3,000 people were brought from Abaco to our stadium during the hurricane.
Right,
do you remember that?
Yeah, but that's different from working on the project, Graham. Listen,
I got to cut you.
I got to go. I really got to end the show. I got to cut you. I'm so sorry. I'm out of time. Or else I would have entertained you to figure out where that 3,000 actually comes from. But that's the point I'm making, Graham. The point I'm making is this, that Hurricane Dorian was an extraordinary event. And post-Dorian, we should have seen extraordinary initiatives and measures in place on the island of Abaco. And one of those measures would have been a special protocol to monitor migration and labor on the island. For the sake of the island and its residents, but to build models for other family islands. See, I want to put it to the Bahamian people again. This is not a migrant crisis. This is a systems crisis and a crisis of governance. And this is important, because we can't solve the problem until we clearly and appropriately identify it. People can't be living in the bush, documented or undocumented. People cannot be contaminating water supplies and ecosystems, documented or undocumented. There's an article, Repair Program to Start This Month. Disaster Reconstruction Authority confirmed the Small Homes Repair Program is set to begin with 200 homes in GB and Abaco, and the next phase is 100 homes in GB and Abaco, respectively. Right? Where are those people going to live who are going to be conducting the repairs? I thought Abaco was already drained of labor. You have to bring in people from Mexico and abroad to work on the projects. The migrants are making their way to the island any kind of way because the work is there. Where are those people going to live? Who is going to work on this project? Anyway, tomorrow we get some good news in that story about Sweetings Key and Elbow Key. Developments going on there, shelter being... Anyway, some more poetry as well in that article, but I gotta go. It's the music, and that means C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Bahamas, you've been on the clock with Erin Green. We're gonna continue to talk migration and the things that ail us. Tech says, not one Haitian in Abaco is unemployed. If the minister just realized that immigrants are working out of their scope, he should resign. This has been going on for 20 years. Anyway, couldn't get to all the texts. You guys have a great day.